You're now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
Most people would say that the 24 car has the most victories in the Cup Series this season. However, I would argue that it's Mother Nature right now, as we once again had another weather delay race. Not to worry, though, because today we had ourselves an action-packed race. I was able to complete the distance. We will talk about the final results, our fantasy drivers, as well as the points playoff picture for both the Xfinity Series and Cup Series. That and more in today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. Man, I don't know about you guys. I wanted to see a weather package race here in New Hampshire. I thought we were going to have it, but I did not think that the track was going to flood on Sunday. I got the news early in the morning. I woke up pretty late, I'm not going to lie. I was bumming on Sunday. And I looked at my phone and they already called it. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Another race to suffer weather delay this year. We cannot catch a break, us NASCAR fans. It doesn't matter if it's the Xfinity Series or if it's the Truck Series, the Cup Series. They're all at the same track. If one group is at one track and another group's at a different track, rain seems to always be on the schedule. It is unbelievable. And once again, it happened here in New Hampshire. And luckily for the Xfinity Series, they didn't have to deal with that. So thank goodness for them. Maybe I think in qualifying and practice, there was a lot of scare for those guys. I think that's why the number 74 withdrew. But the Cup Series, no chance of them running on Sunday. I was afraid of those thunderstorms, but the amount of rain that came in, yeah, there's no way you can run in that. I mean, yes, we got a wet tire package, but we don't have boats. And that track had a lot of water. Those guys would have been hydroplaning no matter what tire they had underneath them. Still, we were able to watch the race. Well, hopefully most of us were able to. I was able to watch a glimpse of it at work. You know, you can't be on your phone at work, but I tried every way I could to make sure I watched as much as I could of that race. And from what I saw, it was a really decent race as far as passing went throughout the entire field. Yes, up front, there was one driver who mostly dominated. We'll talk about them in a second. But I really want to focus on the Xfinity Series race because there was a lot of things that played out in this race as well. So lots to talk about here on today's episode. So without further ado, let's dive into it. We're going to start off with the first race of the weekend. That is the AM Better Health 200. It's now time to talk about the 18th race of the 2023 season for the Xfinity Series. Now, as we mentioned earlier, there was 39 cars on the entry list, but there was one car that decided to withdraw due to weather in the area, and that was CHK Racing's number 74 of Dawson Cram. Unfortunately, they have not been able to make that many races, so whenever there's some weather that's in the air for qualifying, they're not going to be able to qualify in. So they decided to withdraw. So every single car that remained on the entry list was able to run in the main show. We had a total of 10 cautions for 60 laps. It was definitely a caution-filled race for the 200-lap event. It actually went into overtime, finishing on lap number 206. We had 13 lead changes among seven different drivers. In the end, though, it was the driver who was able to lead the most laps in this race and had themselves a pretty dominant race overall. They were able to wind up on top for another victory here this season. That goes to the number 20 of John Hunter Nemechek for Joe Gibbs Racing. John Hunter Nemechek has had himself a stellar season so far. He has been really one of the only drivers that has been dominant at the beginning of the season as well through the summer stretch. There's been a few drivers who were looking really good at the beginning, like Austin Hill, but he's kind of fallen off just a tad bit. I wouldn't say to the point where we should be concerned, but he's not at the same level as John Hunter Nemechek. John Hunter Nemechek's been able to keep that consistency going, and he proves it once again here in this Loudon race, able to hold off every single competitor. I mean, there was multiple drivers who had opportunities to win this race. You had his teammate, the number 18 of Sammy Smith, was able to win a stage. You had Justin Allgaier, who was able to lead 27 laps in this race. Chandler Smith, the top finishing rookie in this race, in the number 16 machine for Colic Racing, he had himself a dominant car. And there's multiple other drivers that we will talk about here in a second, but John Hunter Nemechek was able to put himself head and shoulders above the rest once again, and just proves to everyone why he deserved this full-time ride here in the Xfinity Series. And he might be the future driver for a car that we will talk about for the Cup Series race. Hint, hint, it could be the winner for the New Hampshire race. So we will talk about that in a second, but just a great performance for that number 20 machine. He just had himself just a solid weekend overall, and he's just carrying this momentum through the summer stretch. Finishing the second position, we just talked about him, the number 16 Chandler Smith, has been one of those drivers who has been in the mix throughout the entire season. I mean, AJ Allmendinger was really good in this car last year and the couple years before that, so it's not a surprise that Chandler Smith is holding that consistency. Maybe not at the same level as what AJ was able to do, but for a rookie, it has been a very good performance for Chandler Smith. He once again is able to get another top three finish, and he is proving to everyone that he could be a contender for that championship four at the end of the season. There's a couple drivers who have the slightest edge upon him. I still think Austin Hill can finish above him right now as overall performance. You also have Justin Allgaier. Cole Custer has shown himself a really good run here through the summer stretch. Josh Berry, you can't keep his name out of the championship contender match. So there's definitely some huge challengers here, but this rookie is putting himself right in the middle of it with a second place finish here. Once again, Chandler Smith was definitely a good move for Colic Racing. Moving him on up from the Truck Series into the Xfinity Series was definitely the right call. Third spot was the number 21 of Austin Hill. Had himself pretty much a top 10 running car as he was getting lucky there at the end. He stayed out of trouble, and that's what got him this top three finish. And hey, that's what you need to do to keep advancing on, is being able to stay out of trouble. Of course, this is just a regular season race. Hopefully, he's able to do that in the playoff races. We shall see. But overall, decent run for him. In the fourth spot was the number 11 of Daniel Hemric. He was in the same position as Austin Hill, just right around in the top 10, and was able to stay out of trouble. So good for him. Sammy Smith on a different pit strategy, and it kind of worked out for him in the end of stage two, where he was able to get the victory there. And he was in the mix. He was in the mix for a good amount, but he was definitely not a top runner from the other drivers. Yes, he was able to get the top five finish, but he definitely was relying mostly on pit strategies, and it felt like there at the end, things weren't quite going in his direction, whether or not they had the caution, but still for him to be able to get a top five, just a great run for him overall. Justin Allgaier had himself the most chaotic race, finishing in that sixth position, and I'll tell you why. This man was able to win a stage, go back due to, I believe it was a pit road penalty. Don't quote me on that. I'm trying to see if it was a speeding penalty or if he ran over equipment. Whatever the case may be, it forced him to go to the back of the field. And then on one of the restarts, there was a big old congestion. Starting all the way up front at the very beginning with John Hunter Nemechek, who led the restart. He didn't get going like everyone thought, and it just shuffled up the entire back group, and they all ran into each other. Now, Justin Allgaier was able to continue, and the fact that he was able to finish sixth just shows how well that Junior Motorsports team is able to bounce back from adversity. I mean, this race, that car was junk, and for him to be still running inside the top 10, I think that is the most impressive run overall here in this race. The days where you can bounce back from a really bad situation kind of are the good races to really look at when hunting for a championship title. Now, I know I keep bringing up championship titles, but we're starting to see which drivers are going to be running for that championship. And this is like a perfect race that summed it up. And it also showed which drivers are trying to make it into the playoffs, because that cut line has been very, very close for quite a few drivers. And overall, this race affected a lot of them negatively. But there was a couple drivers here and there that were able to squeeze on through. And those drivers are the ones that are kind of proving to me that they could be the potential ones to make it into the playoffs. And Justin Allgaier was able to bounce back from adversity. One driver who was able to stay out of trouble altogether was Brett Moffitt in the number 25 machine, as he was able to finish ninth. Brett Moffitt needed himself a really good run here, and he was able to do that while everyone else that was in front of him or around him in points got into some problems. Brandon Jones, he got into a couple of incidents in the race. He was still able to finish 11th, but he could have had himself a stronger finish. He was a top five car. So for him to finish 11th, that's a good direction for Brett Moffitt, as Brandon Jones is currently behind him. Then you had the number 98 of Riley Herbst getting into an incident that was kind of his fault. Like, there's no one else to blame. We will talk about that here in a bit. And then the big names here that are right there in that mix. You have Ryan Sieg in the number 39, Parker Kligerman in the number 48, the number 78 of Anthony Alfredo. I think at one point he was a contender. Now at this point, I think that's kind of fallen off, unfortunately, for him. But all these drivers suffered from incidents at one point or another in the race. And Sam Mayer's another one, that number one. He's currently inside the playoff cutoff line. But he still ran into some problems here in this race, but Brett Moffitt didn't. Brett Moffitt stayed out of trouble, and that's got to be something that that AM Racing team has to be really proud of. I mean, he's been showing his consistency, and that just moves him one step closer to the cutoff line. We'll see what he's able to do here in these final races of the regular season, as he still has a lot of points to catch up on. Still, however, you have to give credit where credit is due, and that number 25 car was able to get himself a pretty good run. The rest of the top 10, we'll cover them real quick because all these drivers deserve a shout out. Jeb Burn, the number 27, was able to finish 7th, even though he started 20th and hung around back there in the 20th position. Good finish for him. Josh Williams in the number 92 finishes 8th, able to score 35 points overall in this race, including a 5th place finish in stage number 2. The strategies worked out well for him, and yes, he got a lot of damage there on the final lap, but he was able to keep his car going, and that is the most important thing because that got him the top 10 finish. So good job for Josh Williams. I believe that is now back-to-back top 10 finishes for him. He definitely belongs at DGM Racing. That is his team. Yeah, last year he was with BJ McLeod Motorsports, and I love those guys, but that wasn't a good blend for them. And it wasn't a good blend for Josh Williams. So for him to be back in the number 92, finally here in the summer stretch, things are starting to point in the right direction for him. And then the 08 of Mason Massey for SS Greenlight Racing. Incredible job for them. At one point, they were so close to going a lap down multiple times, and they were able just to work out on the pit strategies. And for them to finish 10th, that has got to be a great feeling for that team. SS Greenlight Racing, they have been struggling quite a bit for both their 08 and 07 machine. So any little victories right now is huge for that team. A top 10 finish, that's a pretty big victory for such a small team. Now, this race, like I said, was riddled with a few controversies here and there. The biggest one being that restart that I talked about a little bit earlier. Now, I know John Hunter Nemechek has control of the restart. But whenever I see a driver wait till the very, very last second to finally punch it, drives me insane. Joey Logano at the beginning of the year did that, caused a massive pileup. John Hunter Nemechek now does it, and again, another massive pileup. And I get it. It's a leadership, leader advantage for them to control the restart. At the same time, though, gosh, how many cars do we need to junk on a restart? I don't care what people say. It falls on the leader's shoulders when this happens, because he could have went at any time in that restart line. They've extended that restart line multiple meters. And for them to wait till the last second is just one of those things. It's like, come on, really? Really? I don't know. Let me know what you guys think on that. In all honesty, I don't ever like this at all when they would just wait that long. I just feel like it's kind of a punk move for a lot of those guys in the back, because it really doesn't affect anybody inside like the top 6. It affects everyone between 14th on back. And that's exactly what happened here. Multiple cars got damaged, including Justin Allgaier, like we talked about. Jeremy Clements was another one who had damage. Austin Dillon got damaged in that incident. It was just an overall just rough race for a lot of them just because of that early restart. But you know what? It is what it is. This is going to be NASCAR's rule on it. If they don't mind it, then we're going to continue to see stuff like this. And I don't know what is going to be the incident where they finally say enough is enough, but apparently it is not going to be that day. With that little rant out of the way, overall, the restarts as well as the strategies were just a blast to watch here in this Xfinity Series race. You had multiple drivers who, like I said, are right around that cutoff line from 20th on forward, doing a lot of pit strategies and trying to do everything they could to get some playoff points. And for some drivers, it worked out really well. Parker Retzlaff, he stayed out at the end of one of the stages, and he was able to finish 2nd. That is huge. Unfortunately, he was not able to finish that good execution at the end of stage 2 because, unfortunately, he lost a tire and he backed it into the wall, ending his day a little bit early, as he is, unfortunately, going to be credited with the 31st position. But there was multiple drivers who put their nose in there and put their hat into the mix, trying to show that, hey, they could be potential drivers who could sneak their way through. The biggest one was Joe Graff Jr. at one point. Joe Graff Jr. was leading quite a few laps. And if that race stays green, I don't know. I feel like Joe Graff Jr. is going to be a driver contending for that victory. And not many people know this, but yes, Joe Graff Jr., he's running a part-time series schedule with Joe Gibbs Racing. But the rest of the time, he is filled up for RSS Racing in that number 38 machine. So if he was to get this victory, he would technically qualify for the playoffs. And I thought for the longest time he was going to be able to do that. Unfortunately, it did not work out for him because there was an incident involving Josh Berry as well as the number 28 of Kyle Sieg, who was his teammate when he's running for RSS Racing. And then on the restart, unfortunately, another pileup with another spin out, this one being Sam Mayer, and he had nowhere to go. Unfortunately, ruined the front end of his car, so he's credited with the 29th position. Still, though, this was one of those races that had some kind of hints that potentially a wild card winner could have gotten the victory. And as we get closer and closer to the playoff line, into the playoffs, there could be one of these drivers who sneaks their way on through. I would not count out a few of these drivers to be able to sneak away with a victory. I mean, Parker Kligerman had himself a really fast car before that incident happened. I don't think he would have been running for the victory, but he still had himself a really good run. But look at him at road courses. He's been very, very consistent running up near the front. Brett Moffitt has been one of those drivers who's been very consistent for the most part when it comes to intermediate tracks, so keep an eye on him. I still say that the playoff bubble is still wide open for quite a few drivers. And people like Riley Herbst and Sam Mayer, I don't think are 100% safe. Because here in this race, they both made some pretty big mistakes. I mean, the biggest one was definitely Riley Herbst. All he had to do was just stay out of trouble, and he was going to be able to be about a full race ahead of the cutoff line. But unfortunately, he blocks off the number 10 of Austin Dillon going down the front straightaway. He leaves no room at all. So Austin Dillon has no choice but to turn him into the outside wall, and he's not going to get penalized for it because that was not his fault. He could have braked, and I still think that quarter panel would have still made contact at the very end. So, unfortunately, Riley Herbst only sits 18 points above the cut line, but Sheldon Creed also had an incident there near the end. That cost him quite a few positions. Now he only sits 45 points above the cut line. I still think from Sam Mayer on down, now Sam Mayer has the biggest cushion at 63 points. Something could happen. As for let's get rid of the victory idea. There's still so much action, and this race is a perfect example of that, where it could get really shuffled up. Because Parker Kligerman is in that 13th spot. Brett Moffitt's in that 14th spot. Now, I think if Sam Mayer gets pushed out, it's going to be Parker Kligerman and not Brett Moffitt. Otherwise, that would be 100 points differential between the 25 and 2, or excuse me, the 1. And I really don't think that's going to happen. But there's still some big races coming up, so keep an eye on this mix, especially between Riley Herbst, Parker Kligerman, and Brett Moffitt. I think those three drivers will be the biggest factors on who's going to make it in and who's going to miss the cut. Overall, this race was a lot of fun. I really did enjoy it. If you have an opportunity to watch the replays, it's worth a watch. It was a lot of fun just to see some drivers get through there. I mean, at one point, we still haven't talked about all the drivers here in this race that had some highlights. I mean, Austin Dillon, yeah, he had that incident with Riley Herbst, but he stayed out on the racetrack trying to get the victory on the fuel strategy. And I think, I don't know if he would have been able to hold off John Hunter Nemechek, but he could have had himself a top three finish if it were to stay green. Jeremy Clements, he was another driver caught up in that mix. And the man was able to run around the top 10 with a destroyed car. He wound up finishing 15th because he was caught up in that last lap incident. But still, in that mix there at the very end with a car that was basically dragging its ass in, was just great to watch. A really fun race. I give this race a solid 9 out of 10. I think it was a very memorable Xfinity Series race. If you were to tune in for your first ever Xfinity Series race, you would think that this is just an action-packed show that's just craziness. You don't know who's going to win the race. Yeah, you have some drivers who are definitely going to be favorites, but there could be some people who can poke their heads here and there and give themselves a surprise opportunity to win the race. So that was a lot of fun, but now it is time to dive into the main race, the 20th race of the Cup Series season. It is now time to dive into the final results for the Crayon 301 at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. So this race was scheduled to run in Sunday afternoon, but we already know about the weather issue. Yada, yada, yada. It got moved on over into Monday morning. Started at 9 a.m. over here on the West Coast, noon on the East Coast. However, we did not have to worry about any weather in the area, so thank goodness for that. I'm actually happy that we had a race end so quickly without any delays. The race lasted a total of 3 hours and 8 minutes. To be honest with you, that should be the most regular race should last year in the NASCAR Cup Series. So I'm happy with that. But we had 36 cars on the entry list. No open charter cars once again. It looks like open charter cars will only be for super speedways and road courses. Maybe there'll be a race here or there, but that's mostly what it's going to be. It's been like that for the entire season. We had a total of 8 cautions for 41 laps and 13 lead changes amongst 9 different drivers. The same amount of lead changes that we saw in the Xfinity Series. In the end, though, there was really just one driver who dominated this race, just had himself an overall fantastic performance. And he is now Mr. Monday because this man seems to be winning all these delayed races. He's won 2 out of the last 3. How about the number 19 of Martin Truex Jr. getting win number 3 of the 23 season? He was able to win stage 1, stage 2, lead 254 out of the scheduled 301 laps. He is your clear winner here for the race at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Martin Truex Jr. last year, a lot of people had their doubts, and I totally understand that. I really do. He just seemed like he wasn't there mentally. It almost kind of reminded me a little bit of the 2014 season. Obviously, he was running a lot better in the 2022 season. He needs to be because he's running in some top equipment with Joe Gibbs Racing. But it just felt like that, what's the best word to describe it? Like that fight in him wasn't really there. This weekend, as well as some multiple weekends throughout the season, has proved to me time and time again that, yeah, Martin Truex Jr., he still has that fire in him. There is some talks about him just retiring after the end of this season, which is still quite shocking to say because now he's gotten his 3rd victory in a points-paying race, 4th victory overall if you count the LA Clash. I mean, it's just been a great run for him. He has been the lead driver over there at Joe Gibbs Racing. I think a lot of people thought it was Christopher Bell, including myself. Now it is definitely looking like it's Martin Truex Jr. I think this will help him resume the points lead thanks to this performance. But this race was Martin Truex Jr.'s to lose. And there were some points where there was a little bit of doubts, but at the very minimum, he was going to be able to finish 2nd in this race. So Martin Truex Jr., there's no doubt in my mind. He earned this victory. Great performance for him. Finishing in the 2nd spot, we had the number 22 of Joey Logano. A really good run for him in the 2nd half of this race as he was able to finish 3rd in stage 2 as well as finish 2nd overall in this race. This was a good run for Joey Logano. It's been a kind of a struggling year for him. And we had him as a mid-tier driver. He was the top performing Ford. He really was. So great run for him. Definitely a step in the right direction and kind of a change of pace from what we've been seeing this year. And I think all the Joey Logano fans are really happy about that. Of course, they want to see another victory out of him. But I'd say any top 5 finishes right now is huge W's for this team because I feel like Penske has just really been off the ball quite a few weeks. There's been some weeks here and there where they've been doing really good, but most recently it has been a struggle. However, 2nd place finish, gotta be happy about that. Kyle Larson in the number 5 was able to finish 3rd. He was the best running Chevrolet in this race. In the first half, it looked like it was going to be William Byron, but for some reason, William Byron just cannot figure out this racetrack at all. Again, another poor finish for him as his drought of top 10 finishes continues here in New Hampshire. Never once has finished inside the top 10. That is unbelievable to me. But Kyle Larson, a really good performance for him as he was able to finish 3rd. And then we had Kevin Harvick in the number 4. Finished 4th. Stewart Haas Racing, for some reason when it comes to this racetrack, they seem to bring themselves really, really good equipment. And if Eric Almirola does not have that problem early in the race, we will talk about that here in a second. I bet you could have saw 3 Stewart Haas Racing cars inside the top 10. And that's got to be something that they're really excited about. At the same time, though, it is also a bit of a letdown because this has really been one of the only tracks where the team has been dominant as a whole. Or they weren't really even that dominant. I mean, Martin Truex Jr. was the most dominant one. I'd say more consistently running inside the top 10. So Stewart Haas Racing still has a lot of steps to go before they are able to head into the right direction and be contenders here in the playoffs. I mean, Kevin Harvick, it looks like he's going to make it in on points. But it's going to be really hard for any other Stewart Haas Racing car to make the cut unless they are able to get a victory. Right now, I just don't see it. I see them maybe trying to get more top 10 finishes, but that's about it. So Stewart Haas Racing, definitely a step in the right direction for this week, but overall the season has still been poor. Round at the top 5 was the number 6 of Brad Keselowski. He was definitely a top-tier driver for this weekend. Showed it that he was very consistent. I don't think he had anything for the top runners here in this race, but he was still a top 5 running car, so I'd still say he was a good person to go with on fantasy. I think maybe more as a mid-tier pick, maybe just a step off from some of these drivers above him. But still, very, very good run for that number six machine. Let's conclude with the rest of the top 10 here. We have the number 45 of Tyler Reddick finished sixth. The number 11 of Denny Hamlin was able to finish seventh. Bubba Wallace in the number 23 with an eighth place finish. Austin Dillon, a really good finish for him as he's able to finish ninth. And round out the top 10 was the number 14 of Chase Briscoe. A lot of these drivers right here in this mix, maybe minus Denny Hamlin, because Denny Hamlin actually had himself a really good run. Same with Tyler Reddick. These guys had pit strategies working their advantage. And it definitely paid off, especially for drivers like Austin Dillon, who was able to lead 12 laps here in this race. So that's got to be a huge uplifting thing for this team, especially now that they're still back there in the high 20s as far as points goes. So for them to be able to finish inside the top 10, that's got to be feel really good. But Bubba Wallace able once again to have himself a good little top 10 run here at New Hampshire. This was a racetrack he used to really struggle at. Now he's gotten back-to-back top 10 finishes as well. So good run for that number 23 car. He was definitely the driver to take a gamble on. Denny Hamlin, I should have just kept him as a top pick. I put him as the number six top pick for the last episode, just as if you don't want to go with Martin Truex Jr., but he should have deserved that spot. He really did. I think I should have put him above Brad Keselowski. But with that being said, still a good run for him and a good run for their brand new sponsor, Mavis Tires and Brakes, as they'll be running a few races here this season. They got to be happy with a top 10 run. And then a driver who finished outside the top 10 that we should mention was the number 43 of Erik Jones. He was another one of those drivers on the pit strategy where they decided to stay out a lot longer than the rest of the field, and they had a caution work in their favor, and he was one of them. And if you don't believe me that this was a good strategy, he was at one point a couple laps down, and he also caused one of the cautions in the middle of the race. And I thought his day was done. Still was able to finish 11th. And he started in the 30th position. Chase Briscoe started 27th. These guys were able to finish 10th and 11th. Sometimes you just got to be lucky. And in this case, they were definitely more lucky than they were good. But hey, nobody cares about that. Everyone just cares about where you finish. So again, another team who's been struggling this season, who need a small little victory. I think Erik Jones got it. Even though it's slightly outside the top 10, it's still a finish in the right direction. Way better than most of the other races they have ran. Some drivers right here who finished between 12th and 15th are drivers right now around that cutoff line. We have Chase Elliott in the number 12, the number 34, Michael McDowell with a 13th finish, and Alex Bowman in the number 48 with a 14th finish. You can also include Chris Buescher, but he's well above the cut line. I don't think he's going to be missing the playoffs unless we get multiple new winners here in the next few weeks. And then you got Daniel Suarez in the number 99 finishing 16th. These guys all ran on different strategies at one point or another. All of them ran into some problems at one point or another, maybe minus Michael McDowell. I think Michael McDowell overall stayed out of trouble, and he was the cleanest driver out of this bunch. I think at this point, Chase Elliott needs to get the victory. They said it a lot. If he did not finish inside the top seven, it was going to be win or miss the playoffs, and he finishes 12th. And this team hasn't really shown any signs that they are winning, contending drivers. Sure, they're top 10 as far as the team goes, but this is not a team we're used to seeing just run inside the top 10. This is a team that we're used to seeing running for the victory week in and week out. Just remember, this was a regular series champion last year. That's how good this team was running. And they're completely different. Definitely the injury has affected him. I'm pretty sure that suspension also had an effect on him as well for missing a race after he took out Denny Hamlin in the Coca-Cola 600. It just hasn't been the same Chase Elliott. Now, I'm not saying it's been an abysmal season. I don't want to say that at all because he's putting on some solid top 13 runs almost every single week, but he doesn't need top 13 runs. He needs top 5 runs at the minimum if he's going to want to make it into the playoffs. There's some good races coming up for him, but again, another racetrack where they thought he was going to be running more inside the top six and scoring some stage points. He didn't score a single stage point in this race, only gets 25 points. He ties Michael McDowell, who finished in the 13th position, and Alex Bowman was able to finish 2 points above him because Alex Bowman was able to get a seventh place finish in stage number two. Though it doesn't matter if you're finishing above these guys, you got to get those stage points, and Chase Elliott just did not do that here in this race. Daniel Suarez ran on a strategy that worked in his favor as he was able to finish near the front, I don't want to say exactly at the front, but he did enough to keep himself in the talk for the playoff picture. Bubba Wallace definitely had himself the best run. The driver who struggled around that cutoff line was the number 54, Ty Gibbs. And he had himself a pretty decent car. He really did. He just couldn't stay out of trouble. This could be just those rookie nerves that Ty Gibbs was suffering from, because he had some mistakes here and there. And then some of them were at the beginning of the race, and then some of them were near the end. Just overall a sloppy race for him, and he definitely paid the price for it as he finished 27th overall in this race, behind drivers like Ty Gibbs and Austin Cindric, people who had abysmal cars. Oh, and by the way, we said Austin Cindric was going to be a gamble driver. I need to apologize for that, because Austin Cindric, even if Team Penske is having some good cars, unless it's a super speedway, I don't think we can trust Austin Cindric anymore. But Ty Gibbs should be a driver that we should almost trust, since he's in that cutoff line. But he's still a rookie, still making some pretty big mistakes that he should not be at this time. And this was one of those races where he could have had himself a solid finish. Was not able to do it. Finishes 27th. That definitely affected him as far as the points cutoff line goes. Some drivers who really struggled in this race, not able to finish. The number 20 of Christopher Bell. He did go across the start finish line. I should rephrase what I said. He did not end the race with a DNF. But he made a big mistake there at the very end that almost cost his teammate the victory. Now, I'm not blaming Christopher Bell for him running that hard. I mean, he had himself a really good car, but the team made so many mistakes. Nothing went in the right direction, and this was a driver who could have contended against Martin Truex Jr., but the team did not give him a good car, and that is a huge bummer. This team has to fix their mistakes, because if you guys remember last year, this was the turning point for that team to be the championship contenders, make it into the championship four. It was this race right here where everyone was starting to see, hey, you know, Christopher Bell's running pretty good. That's almost been the opposite this year, where Christopher Bell was one of the most consistent drivers. Now he's having a lot of problems here the last couple of weeks. And maybe it's just horrible luck. I think most of it is horrible luck. That still has to weigh on the minds of the driver and team. So I don't know. Christopher Bell should be more of a top three guy. Now he's falling back to maybe at best the 9th or 10th best driver right now. I'm pretty sure he's going to pick things back up at maybe Pocono, maybe even Watkins Glen or the Indianapolis Road Course. But there is some concern there that they're not able to execute finishes, because it almost reminds me of Ryan Blaney, who was a driver who had himself a solid run in this race until he ran over the hose at the very end on the pit strategy and it just ended their day. So those two drivers, good cars, not able to execute. But going back to the drivers who were not able to finish the race, the number 42 of Noah Gregson suffers almost the same fate that he did at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Thank goodness it was not nearly as hard as a hit, as we do remember that ended with him being concussed and missing a couple races. He still only gets a 32nd place finish as the terrible season continues for the rookie, Eric Almirola. This one was the biggest bummer for all the Eric Almirola fans. Had himself actually a really good car. Definitely in the first half of the race, it looked like this gamble was definitely going to pay off. And one of the tires was not secured. They did not secure that lug nut all the way. And right at the restart, lost the tire going up the wall. I don't know if he's going to get suspended, because that tire did not fully fall off. I don't know the rule exactly for that. But that was a heartbreaker for that 10 team. They don't really have that many good races, especially more recently. That 10 team has been struggling as a whole. Same with Stewart Haas Racing. But, oh, man, if they would have been able to finish inside the top three, I think at the very least the whole team would have been considered that a win by how rough the season's been. But instead, it was just a perfect picture of 2023. At some points they don't have a good car, but when they do get a good car, bad luck happens. This was a perfect example. He finishes 34th. Cole Custer in the number 51 machine, he finishes 35th overall in this race with an accident on lap number 130. I was hoping for maybe some better performances here from Rick Ware Racing. I didn't expect greatness, like top 20 finishes, but Cole Custer, pretty unfortunate for him to exit this race so early, as he's been one of those drivers who's ran pretty decent here when it comes to New Hampshire. At one point, he was running in front of Ryan Preece, which says a lot, since Ryan Preece was the one who took over his ride that put him down into the Xfinity Series. But the driver who struggled the most was the number 8 of Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch finishes 36th overall in this race, hitting the wall once again that absolutely junked his car. And the reason why I say once again was he hit the wall 3 times this week. One time in practice, one time in qualifying, and now one time in the race. This was just a bad, bad weekend for Kyle Busch. This is one that he's just going to put behind him. You know, he sometimes is really good here at this racetrack, but most recently, he has just been struggling, whatever that may be. So New Hampshire has gotten the bad luck bug for Kyle Busch. And honestly, when I saw him hit the wall, I was like, wow. And I'm not surprised just by how everything looked this weekend. Not surprised that he ran to the wall. Overall, this race, I wouldn't put it above the Xfinity Series race as far as excitement and memorability goes, but it still was a decent race. You still had a lot of passing. The restarts were crazy. I think the thing that kind of hurt this race was that during those restarts, yes, you had a lot of action, but it was between 7th on back because that inside line, for some reason, could never get traction. No matter who was there on the inside lane, minus Martin Truex Jr., they would slip and slide, and that inside row would just disintegrate before they go into turn one. And unfortunately, it leaves a lack of excitement running near the front. I mean, it was crazy action-packed to try to get into the top 10. You had 3 wide, and in one case, you even had a 4 wide run, which almost ended in disaster. Luckily, they were able to save the cars. But that's going to affect the race a little bit. And Martin Truex Jr. is one of the best drivers to sneak up shows. I mean, when he is a clear contender for the race, no one can keep up with him. He did that at Sonoma. I felt like he did that at Dover. Now he does it here in New Hampshire. So if you see Martin Truex Jr. win stage 1 and looking like he's winning stage 2, yeah, he's probably going to win the race. That's what we got to remember from here on out. So let's look at the playoff cutoff line right now because it is starting to tighten up here with just only 6 more races to go in the regular season. Drivers who are locked in, we got William Byron with 4 victories. He sits at 650 points, but moving ahead of him is now Martin Truex Jr. with 3 victories, but he has scored 667 points, 17 points above William Byron. That's huge because he could get 25 additional points for winning the regular season championship. So that battle is continuing to be ever so close between these two drivers. Third spot is Kyle Busch with his 3 victories. 4th, Kyle Larson with 2 wins. Christopher Bell has 1. Denny Hamlin has 1. Ross Chastain has 1. Ryan Blaney has 1. Joey Logano has 1. Tyler Reddick has 1. And Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in the number 47. All these drivers have 1 victory, which locks himself in. And then we have 5 drivers inside the cutoff line as we have Kevin Harvick ahead by 137. I'm pretty sure he's locked in at this point unless we get 6 different victors that don't include him. I'm pretty sure Kevin Harvick's fine. Brad Keselowski sits 108 points. I feel just as comfortable with him. Chris Buescher sits 97 points above the cut line. This is where things get crazy because now you got Bubba Wallace in the number 23. He's only 2 points above, and then there's a 1-point difference between Michael McDowell, 34, and Daniel Suarez in the number 99. 1 point separates these two, and 2 points separates those 3. And sitting 20 points behind, you have the number 16 of A.J. Allmendinger. 41 points behind is Ty Gibbs. And then Alex Bowman in the number 48 sits 42 points behind. There's still a lot of opportunity for these drivers who sit 42 points on forward have an opportunity to make it into the playoffs. You got Pocono. You got 2 road courses. You got Daytona. You got Richmond. And I'm missing one other race. Of course, when I look at the schedule, I'm going to look at it and go, oh yeah, how did I forget that? It's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens here in the next coming weeks as Pocono is coming up. The playoff line is getting ever so close between these 6 drivers. But one thing is for certain, and that is Martin Truex Jr. doesn't show any signs of slowing down in his career here in 2023. And that will conclude the final results for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Definitely a great weekend for Martin Truex Jr. One thing is for certain as well, and that is Loudon the Lobster at this point is probably in several bellies over at Joe Gibbs Racing. Unfortunately, I don't think that lobster is alive anymore. As you guys are aware, here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, the winner of the race gets a giant lobster as a victory. And this thing is humongous. So it can feed quite a few people. And God rest that lobster's soul, because you know he didn't make it past tonight. Here are the top three from our fantasy league here this weekend. A lot of you guys did really, really well. We had 17 people score 200 plus points in fantasy this weekend. Here are the top three. These are some very familiar names. You're starting to see the people who are finishing up front overall in the league. They keep getting these top threes week in and week out. And in third place, we have Chobi Race Fan, able to score 222 points. Kelly K scoring 223 points. And Sammy By God was able to win this weekend with 230 fantasy points. Now, I have to talk about something here real quick. It wouldn't have made the difference. I wouldn't have been able to make it into the... Actually, I would have tied for third. So it does make a little bit of a difference here. So during the end of stage two, I was at a safety meeting. And there was... I'm not saying that I should have ditched the safety meeting. Obviously, safety is important, especially in the field that I work at. However, with that being said, they started asking questions at the end. They started doing stretches. And I'm like, come on, I know the end of that stage is coming. And then when they said, okay, you guys are free to go, I ran my ass down the... Actually, I didn't run. I waddled my ass down the hallway to try to get to my computer. And unfortunately, it was two laps past the end of stage number two. And I had Kevin Harvick on the bench. And it would have gave me an additional 14 points. Ugh! Ugh! This is why I hate weather-delayed races, is because if you're a hard-working person, not like myself, but let's say you work on Monday, it could affect your opportunity to change your fantasy roster. And unfortunately, I have to suffer with a pitiful 14th place finish here in the fantasy league. But if you do want to join the fantasy league and you want to shut me up because I felt like I got ripped off here this weekend, you can join us at fantasygames.nascar.com and look up NASCAR Fantasy Filler League. We got 83 members in total, and I think we have 53 active people still competing for the number one spot, which is still unbelievable to think that there's that many people here in this group. It's really, really cool, guys. Trust me, it's a lot of fun. And you could get your name mentioned if you're able to finish inside the top three. If you don't want to do that, you can also follow me on social media. You can look me up at Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok. I am posting content on all four of those. Instagram is at VanillaWafers33, starting to get some traction there, so I'm really happy about that. A lot of the memes that you see on TikTok, I kind of make them a little bit nicer and put them over on there on Instagram, because TikTok, you can only do so much. Instagram, you can kind of make things look a little bit nice over there. So again, that's at VanillaWafers33. TikTok, we do a lot of the NASCAR trivia as well as custom diecast cars, and even trying to look for Mario Andretti. That journey still continues, and it doesn't get any easier any video I make. But if you want to watch anything like that, you can do so there at VanillaWafers44. I got to switch things up to make sure that you guys are paying attention here at the end of these episodes. And then on YouTube, if you want to watch some longer videos, again, all NASCAR related, whether it's me doing a tier list, doing some longer trivia, or actually doing some narrative history on the sport of NASCAR, that's the best place where you can find it. Just look up Vanilla Wafers, as I will be one of the first things to pop up. I'm slowly but surely getting above the cookie commercials, and that is very important to me. Next episode will be the fantasy picks here that will come later this week for Pocono Raceway. Let's pray that we don't get another weather delay, but the racetrack is in the Pocono Mountains, so yeah, more than likely that's going to happen. But let's wrap up today's show, guys. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I have been able to take you to the front of the field, so why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.